Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our third and final hour on this Wednesday afternoon. We've got to talk some NBA, and joining us now to do it, Rob Fisher from the Grizzlies Television Network. Rob, thanks so much for joining us. Obviously, a lot to talk about, but obviously the heartbreaking news yesterday, the passing of Brandon Clark. We learned that around midday, and then later in the evening, learning about the passing of Jason Collins, who also spent a little bit of time here in Memphis. A really sad day. Just your thoughts on that news out of the NBA yesterday.
Shocking. You know, the Brandon news obviously was shocking. No one saw that coming, and 20-year-old kid, you know, who's no longer with us. And it's sad, devastating, tragic, whatever word you want to use. I know the entire Grizzlies organization is hurt and devastated by the news yesterday. And, you know, because Brandon was such a light for everyone. And with his smile and with his demeanor and just being a really good guy and a guy who seemingly was always having fun and a guy who seemingly loved basketball and, you know, being around him, you had a smile on your face because he always had a smile on his. So that was hard. It was really hard news yesterday for everyone, and you know, for Grizzlies fans too. I mean, we haven't had something like this in the NBA since Bobby Fils, you know, with Charlotte when he passed away at an early age. So it doesn't happen often. You know, I was covering the Cardinals when Daryl Kyle passed away, and that was just devastating. And you know, that was something that you know, it was even harder because it was during the season, you know, and you didn't even have time to grieve. You know, this one, you got time to grieve, but certainly ask a lot of questions and wonder why and you know what happened. And it's awful, just real tough news. And then the Jason Collins news, you know, Jason Collins is a pioneer, and he was sick, and he hadn't been doing well. So it wasn't as surprising, but still, you know, it's hard to lose a guy like that. Another guy who just always had a smile on his face, and a guy who meant so much to so many people. And the short time I got to be around him with the Memphis Grizzlies, he was wonderful and a just terrific person to be around. So he'll definitely be missed as well.
Was Brevin close with the Collins twins with Stanford? I think he's a little older than they are, but do you know of any interaction of friendship with them?
Yeah, you know, he was close with them. He kept in touch with both of them, with Jaren and Jason, and you know, and kind of knew what was going on with Jason here recently. So
is that right?
He had been up to date, but yeah, I don't know how close that friendship was, but I know that they definitely kept in touch for sure.
Well, that Stanford symmetry and allegiance, it's really strong. And so, for Brevin yesterday and going forward, well, for everyone. Rob, yesterday, and you much closer to the person I'm going to mention. I knew him, but you were really close. I did not know Brandon Clark anywhere, not even close like you. But for me, yesterday, the bolt of lightning, it felt a little bit like the passing of Don Poyer.
Yeah,
how thunderstruck it was.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, just I mean, just stunning. You know, it's surprising.
And how we learn now. I mean, it's pretty cold just opening up the Twitter machine and learning it that way.
Yeah, and you know, there were some rumors in the morning, and you know, you're just wondering what's going on here, and then as the day progresses, more news comes out, and you find out you know that he had passed, and it's just, you know, and with Don, it was Don was stunning as well, where you know the team was at the arena, and he just wasn't on the bus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wondering where he was, and then finding out how they found out. And it was stunning and shocking all in the same part. So, it's an awful feeling because you get so close with these people, and you think they're invincible, especially professional athletes. You think they're invincible, and you don't expect things like this to happen. And it's far too young for him to have his life taken away.
Rob, I mentioned earlier, want your input on it, because you see it, these players that are hurt and have to miss these big gobba games. I know they're with the team and they're working out, but they're not doing what they want to do. They're not a part of it. That's got to be some wear and tear. And for Brandon, I'm not trying to play amateur psychiatrist by any means, because I know I can't do that. But the injuries mounting up, I got to be thinking everything I've ever worked for could be coming to an end playing wise.
Well, especially when they just continue to one on top of another, which was the case with Brandon. And, you know, to be able to go through such a long rehab process and then to come back and then to have another injury and then to come back and then to play just two games and to be out again. And I mean, yeah, at an age of 29, something you've done your whole life, and all of a sudden it feels like it's being taken away and your body's let you down, and you just can't do it anymore. You know, I'm sure that weighed on him heavily, and I know it did. You look back and think now, and it's like, you know, how real were those smiles from Brandon Clark, you know, and you worry about that, and, being someone who has gone through depression and mental health issues myself, you can only imagine what someone his age is going through on a daily basis, and you know, when his dreams and his hopes and his life are changing, and it's not going the way that you planned, and not going the way that you had hoped, and not going the way that it should be. It's got to be very difficult, and it's got to be very taxing, and I'm sure it was for Brandon, and he had that weighing on his shoulders, I'm sure, heavily over the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely heartbreaking news yesterday, and hard to transition from that. But the Grizzlies did get the number 3 pick in the NBA draft over the weekend on Sunday. Your reaction to them getting that pick and jumping into the top 4?
It was exciting. I was at brunch with my wife and kids, and we ended up having a long wait. And such a long wait that it ended up the lottery was going to be right when we got seated. So I was watching it on my phone and keeping them posted on what's going on. I was like, oh, the Grizzlies are in the top 4. And, you know, I mean, that was the most exciting part. Mm-hmm. I thought of the whole unveiling of the picks. Once the Grizzlies got in the top 4, you were like, good. You know, you're in that top 4. You got one of 4 players. And now it doesn't really matter where you fall because you already got lucky. And so then to find out you got number 3 was great. It's better than 4. It's maybe not as good as 1 or 2, but you're going to get a great player. And I think it's exciting for the organization and the franchise to know that, you know, you're going to get another guy that's going to be a huge piece of this franchise going forward. And you're going to get a guy that's expected to be a star in this league. So it's thrilling to get this pick. And I know everyone's excited about it, and everyone's already debating. I've been stuck on Cam Boozer for the last couple of months, but now all of a sudden, you know, everybody's trying to talk me into Caleb Wilson, and then people are trying to talk me into Boozer being taken in one of the top 2 picks. So maybe he won't even be available. So then maybe Darren Peterson's on the board. So there's a lot that can happen in the next month, and I'm confident that they're going to get a great player, and I'm confident in the Grizzlies front office to make the right decision.
Yeah, no, like you said, I mean, the jump into the top 4 after that happened, you felt really, really good about the options you would have with one of those top 4 picks. Are you big on the lottery, or not the lottery, the combine? Are you a big combine watcher?
Not really. No. I was interested the other day when the numbers for Boozer and Caleb Wilson were very similar.
Yeah.
That was interesting to me, I guess. But, you know, the combine's not the end-all, be-all. Mm-hmm. And certainly they've done their due diligence on scouting these players throughout the year. The combine's just an added piece You know, so I don't put a lot of stock into the combine. And, you know, the interviews and things like that happen, so those things could be a little more important than maybe what I look at. But I think that, it's cool to see these guys and to get their measurements and to see how tall they really are and to see how their agility is compared to other guys. And to be able to see that, I think was kind of cool. But I'm not a huge fan.
And some of Cam Boozer's comments have almost been what you're saying about the future and that maybe the key ingredient going forward. He is openly saying, I am so much better with a reliable, really contributing big. Well, that's Zach Edey. I mean, you get Zach Edey well, and Boozer is what he's supposed to be with some other really good pieces for the Grizzlies. This thing can get turned around pretty quickly.
Well, I've been stuck on Boozer for really the last couple of months and just hoping that the Grizzlies could jump up in the draft and have some chance of getting him, because I think the combination of him and Edey and even Cedric Coward, I mean, teams aren't going to get a rebound against them. And that's so important because, you know, the Grizzlies are so big on the possession game and winning the possession game. And by getting all the rebounds, you can win that possession game. Plus, having a guy like Boozer who can step out and knock down the three, having an Edey behind him that can help him defensively. I just think it's such a perfect fit for those two guys. And you talk about turning it around quickly. You know, I've said before, no matter where they fell in the draft, whether they stayed where they were at or they moved down to 10 or even moved up to number one, I felt like it could be a quick turnaround based on Zach Edey, based on Zach Edey playing games and being on the floor. Because we saw the difference of this team this year when Zach Edey was on the floor and when he wasn't on the floor, and how big of a difference it made for the Grizzlies. Record-wise, defensive efficiency, things like that, the Grizzlies, up until about 3 weeks left in the season, were still only four games out of a play-in spot. And they were trying to lose games. So how far does it take to get at least into a play-in spot? I don't think that far. And I think the Grizzlies have, especially with this draft pick, especially with the overall draft and whatever else they do with their other two picks, I don't think they're very far from moving into a spot where they'll be at least a play-in team next year. As long as they're healthy, this team, I think, has the ability to jump up that far next season.
I know it does for you, but when I watch these playoffs, it just makes me miss Memphis being involved even more.
Yeah, being there, the electricity in the building. I mean, even like in the last 24 hours, seeing all the highlights of Brandon Clark playing in playoff games
against Minnesota,
and seeing that and seeing that excitement, and you know that series that he had against Minnesota, which was incredible, the best stretch of basketball that he probably had in his career was in that series against Minnesota a few years ago, when he went in game three in Minnesota, he went for 20 points and 8 rebounds, and then in game six, the clinching game, he had a double-double of 17 and 11. He did the walk-off interview that night. But just to see those highlights and see the playoff atmosphere, it gives you goosebumps just thinking about it. And you know, what we have in Memphis when the playoffs are around, and the excitement that we have in the building, and the fans and the team, and just the feeling of playoff basketball in FedEx Forum, is there's nothing like it. And yeah, I think every year that the Grizzlies don't make it or don't get far in the playoffs, you keep watching and you think about, boy, that could be us. And hopefully that'll be us again here real soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, last night we saw Victor Wembanyama return after being ejected in the game before, and he was lights out. Those first, 6 or 7 minutes, they could not stop him. What did you make of what you saw from him and the Spurs last night?
Well, I think they showed us who they can be. Now, give Minnesota credit, man. They're playing their tails off.
They are.
And, you know, they were in that game. And then all of a sudden it turned into a blowout at the end. But they were in that game, and I give them a lot of credit. They play really hard. They play really hard defensively. They're just outmanned by San Antonio. San Antonio is just a better team and has better players. And they got Victor Wembanyama, which is a difference maker. So it's not surprising to me that San Antonio is doing what they're doing. I think they'll go on and they'll win this series. But Minnesota certainly made it hard on them. I think it's really interesting because as I watched this series, I was talking to Brevin Knight last night, and as I watched this series, I think to myself, you know, I've been waiting this whole postseason for Oklahoma City to play San Antonio because of what San Antonio did to them in the regular season. And I asked Brevin, I said, should I still feel that way, that it's going to be a great series because I've seen what Oklahoma City's done. And I've seen what Minnesota's done to San Antonio. And he said, absolutely. Absolutely, you should still feel that way, that those two teams are going to have a great series because San Antonio, they're getting more experience in playoff basketball as they go along. You know, the whole thing of they haven't been in this situation before. Well, they have now. Mm-hmm. And they've had must-win games. They've had high-pressure situations. They've had these big competitive matchups with good basketball teams in a long series. So they're getting the experience. And just going into that Oklahoma City series, I can't wait to see those two teams play because I think San Antonio is the only team that can give Oklahoma City any sort of run. Mm-hmm.
You're so right. That was a great point about Minnesota. They're really fortunate to have the two they've gotten.
Yeah. Yeah, and the one that they won, San Antonio had the three-point shot, wide open look to win it without Victor. Mm-hmm. And Minnesota held on. But, yeah, I think Minnesota's doing everything they can. I mean, credit Coach Finch and credit the Timberwolves because they've made it really tough. They've made it tough on San Antonio. It hasn't been an easy series. I think Minnesota's giving them the – you know, it's similar to when Golden State won their first championship. And afterwards, they all said the Grizzlies were the toughest test. Hmm. And that was the series that gave them the most problems, that got them to where they needed to go, and was a really good learning experience for them going forward. I think the same thing will be said when it's all said and done about San Antonio with this Minnesota series.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. The other series that's still going over in the Eastern Conference, Detroit and Cleveland will get Game 5 tonight. What have you seen in that one? It's been pretty chalk so far through four games, and what do you expect tonight?
Yeah, I guess I expect Detroit to win because they're at home tonight. It's been an odd series to watch. I think it's been filled with just terrible basketball at times. And really from the top two players, you know, Cade Cunningham and James Harden, their turnovers have just been disgusting. I mean, not only bad turnovers and a number of turnovers, but turnovers just at inopportune times and turnovers in the open floor that lead to dunks on the other end. I mean, I've been stunned at how bad both teams have been trying to give these games away to each other.
Yeah.
And so I think it's been a hard watch. I have not been impressed with Detroit during this postseason yet. Mm-hmm. I haven't. And I was impressed with them during the regular season and really liked their team, but I haven't been impressed in the postseason. They're a very physical team and their physicality is great, but I think their mistakes have just been too many in these first couple of rounds. And I expect them to win this series. I expect them to win tonight. But I don't know what's going to happen against the Knicks when they face the Knicks because the Knicks are playing great basketball right now.
Mm-hmm. Opening night next year. Where's LeBron? What team's he on?
I think I'd still guess the Lakers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think first of all, LeBron's not going to take a discount to go anywhere.
Right.
So who's going to pay him that sort of money? And I think your choices are going to come down to the
Lakers.
How many can?
How many can pay him that kind of money?
None. I mean, I don't think there's – if you want to contend, I don't think there's any. I think they'll convince LeBron he'll stay in Los Angeles. They'll convince him that they haven't had enough of a sample size with him and Luka. And that everything, you know, will be different next year because they'll be healthy and they'll be able to win. But I think Los Angeles would probably be his best destination as far as wanting to contend. Mm.
Does that put a lot of pressure on Pelinka and Redick?
Pelinka for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Redick, well, if Pelinka goes, then, yeah, I guess there's pressure on Redick too.
Yeah.
Now you're bringing a new guy who
that's his
might
guy.
Want his own coach. But I mean, I think JJ did a great job with the Lakers. I think he's done a great job as a head coach. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think he's gotten the most out of this team. The Lakers in that series with Oklahoma City, much like Minnesota, I thought the Lakers fought hard. I thought they played
Lakers
really hard.
They don't like going to the Independence Bowl.
No, they don't. They don't at all. And, you know, it should be about championships. And I think LeBron, before his career's over, was going to want to win a championship. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's going to be in position to do that unless he takes less money somewhere. And when's LeBron James ever taken less money?
Never.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to be a big question. And,
well, you don't get to be a billionaire taking less money.
That's true.
He's made pretty.
That's
you
true.
Can't really fault his business plan.
He knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
Certainly done a good job with it. But the question will be, what do the Lakers do if LeBron James does return with the rest of that roster? Because I do think there are still some question marks with that roster as a whole. But always,
Rob,
thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of the week, the weekend, and we'll do it again next Wednesday.
Sounds good, guys. Look forward to it.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Rob Fisher joining us to talk all things NBA. Obviously, a lot of stuff to get to with all the news yesterday, the playoffs, the draft lottery, the combine, which just wrapped up with their scrimmage portions of the combine. So, very busy time around the NBA right now.
It has been. At the workouts, at the combine, is it been a player that has surprised you that you've been following, that you track?
Oh, Boozer's been a big surprise. Mara's been a big surprise. Cam Carr looked really good today. Those are probably the three that have jumped out to me. I mean, Boozer, we were all going into the offseason and really into the week after we knew the Grizzlies got the third pick of saying, okay, you can either go with a Cam Boozer, who is more fundamentally sound, more big man type of player, or you can go with Caleb Wilson, who's more get up and down the court and high flyer. And then yesterday, you see Cam Boozer beat Caleb Wilson in every single agility drill and shoot better than him. So I thought Cam Boozer, and even Rob said that of you know, I wouldn't be surprised after what he showed in the combine that he can move up maybe even to – I don't think it'll be two unless there's a trade, because I think if Utah gets the opportunity to draft A.J. DeBonza, they will, and I don't know if he fits what they have. But I wouldn't be surprised if he goes one now, Brett. I really would not be surprised if maybe Washington gets scared off of A.J. with some of the reports out there of him
that
saying
would leave
he wants
Peterson.
To stay in Utah.
I'm fine by that.
Oh, I would love Peterson. I would love Darren Peterson. Sign me up for that yesterday if that happens.
And he's saying all the right things, and I want to see it.
Sure, yeah, and you know that's where you got to put faith in the any of these front offices around the NBA to do the digging and those scouts and that medical team to try to see if everything checks out. And look, if it was just hey. It was a really weird situation, and we finally got to the root of it. It would blow my mind that the fine people at Kansas in that athletic department and that basketball team, that it took them all the way until after the season was over to figure out
that's
that it was creatine that was the issue. That would shock me. But if that's the case, then, yeah, I think that that takes a lot of the worries away from these NBA teams.
Because if there's anybody out there running medical and training and diet and all the stuff that goes into it close to an NBA team, it's KU.
Exactly. I mean, you look at Kansas, the way that basketball program operates, I would think that a nutritionist, a dietitian, whatever they have on staff would very quickly be able to say, hey, man, how much creatine do you take before you come to practice? Yeah, we can't be doing all that and figure it out very quickly.
Just can't imagine their cost-cutting.
No.
On something like
No. But who knows? So, that'll be up to the scouts and the medical department and all those fine people in these NBA offices that ultimately have to decide if that's what happened or if it's something different. So, definitely have learned a lot from the combine. We might talk a little bit more about the combine here in our next segment during What's Trending. But let's go ahead and get to that break. When we return, we're talking What's Trending.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Brian and Brett with you as we've got about 30 minutes left in today's show. We got to talk about what's trending, and a lot of things trending right now, but we talked about a little bit about the Combine before we got to a break. A lot of news coming out, a lot of reports, interviews. These prospects are talking, and we're kind of getting a better idea of maybe the direction the Grizzlies are going with a couple of these picks. Michael Cole, we talked with him on Monday, and he told us he was at the Combine. He's been at the Combine all week. Some of the things that he has posted earlier today, he said that Darren Peterson says that he has had an interview with the Grizzlies. He had it yesterday, and he said it went well. Cam Boozer, you mentioned this earlier, Brett, but he said, quote, playing with a big next to me will maximize my game for sure, end of quote. And then a couple other guys that have said that they've met with the Grizzlies. Axel Lindenborg has met with the Grizzlies, said that that went really, really well. A couple other players that have met with the Grizzlies as well. So they're getting, you know, they're getting the interviews started. And, you know, we knew that once the lottery was passed, it would give the Grizzlies a better opportunity to kind of know going into the Combine what guys they were really going to target. And, you know, it's not just that first spot. We were talking so
that's
much
right
about number three, but you got three, you got 16, you got 32. So it's a lot that's going into this week and really this next month for the Grizzlies.
Don't forget 16 and 32. Really solid point, Bryant. Now, that may not be where they end up because it could be some deals by then to maybe try to get up there and get one of the very gifted point guards. I don't see a big for Boozer to play by in Washington.
No, well, yeah, I mean, Anthony Davis, you know,
well,
they have him now. And
how much longer? How consistent?
That's a good point. Yeah, and they've got Alex Saar, who's a really good young player. It's just kind of those aren't really the type of, I guess AD more is than Alex Saar, but, you know, when you think of kind of that big lockdown is going to be the anchor, you don't really think about that type of player when you think of AD and a little bit AD, but not as much with Alex Saar. He's more of a guy that likes to go to the three-point line and knock down shots and just kind of be a shot blocker. But with what the Grizzlies have, you know you have a guy that's going to be down in the paint. He's going to be roaming down there and kind of gives Cam Boozer a little more freedom to move around a little bit. And that's not something that he was able to do as much last year at Duke. So I do think, you know, getting drafted by the Grizzlies and being paired with Zach Edey, and now we've seen his shooting numbers. You go back to last year, wasn't a bad three-point shooter. What he did at the Combine, you know, I think that gives you more hope that he can step down and knock down threes if you need him to.
I think we have more hope than Washington.
What do you mean?
For the future? I'd bet Grizzlies playoffs before I would Wiz.
I'm in the air about it.
That was your over and under team last year. It's got to be for this year because you know it'll be depressed.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, I don't know what it's going to be set at. I mean, you know, we still really haven't seen Trae Young or Anthony Davis on the court. So, you know, they've got a lot of really fun young players. They've got some life there. It's just can they put it together and kind of put out a complete roster. I think the thing about them is if you're talking about a rebuild, they're a little further in their rebuild. I mean, they've kind of been in the dungeon of the lottery for the past many years. So, I mean, you got to imagine some of those guys are going to start taking the next step, whereas the Grizzlies, they're just starting their rebuild. And so you've got some nice pieces. What do you do in this draft I think will be important. And like you said, you know, this front office has shown year in, year out at the draft that they like to move around. They don't really like to stay with those picks that they have going into the draft. So I think we will see some movement. Circle that number 32 pick because I would kind of be surprised if they ultimately take the number 2 pick in the draft.
I've got an over-under number for you. Okay. BetOnline.ag just sent these out. Tigers 2026 football over and under number 7.5.
Yeah, I saw these starting to circulate earlier today. 7.5.
I'd bet the over.
Yeah.
If I had to bet right now.
Yeah, I think I would too. You know, with the Tigers, and there's a lot of teams around college football, but with Memphis, I mean, just so much new when you talk about this football team. It's not just the roster that's new. It's the entire coaching staff that's new. So, you know, how quickly will they be able to put it together and figure it out? We talked so much about the non-conference slate. I mean, you've got a team like UNLV that a lot of people are,
seven and a half.
Oh, wow, there's that 7.5, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got a team like that who a lot of people are projecting to be the Group of Five representative. Boise's always in.
10.5.
That. Well, how about that? That's surprising. So, yeah, I mean, it's not an easy schedule, but I think I would take the over in that if you were making me go one way or the other today.
Arkansas State, 5.5. That's the first three opponents, Vegas, ASU, and Boise.
So, wow, so with Arkansas State, you're just betting on them to go to a bowl game if you're betting the over. Mm-hmm. So that is very interesting. Do you have any of the other American teams in there?
Got them all.
All right, what about like the USFs and the Tulanes, those type of teams?
I'll go through them all. Army, 7.5. Charlotte, 2.5. East Carolina, 7.5. FAU, 5.5. The Tigers and Navy, both 7.5. North Texas, 5.5. Rice, 3.5. Rice.
Wow.
South Florida, 8.5. Mm. Temple, 5.5. I would bet over on that.
Yeah.
Tulane, 7.5. New coach. Tulsa, 5.5. UAB, 3.5.
Wow.
And UTSA, 7.5.
Wow, so a lot of 7.5s in there around the Americans. So it feels like the only thing higher than 7.5 was USF at 8.5, right?
That's it.
Wow, so yeah, so they think it's going to be pretty tight up at the top of the Americans. So yeah, so we're getting closer and closer to football season.
Tiger schedule's tough. I'm not going to be the summertime bull I've been the last. Mm-hmm. 2 years when I've had them in the playoffs, because if you missed on those, I don't know that you do it in the first year of a coach, but you could, and we've seen that first-year coaches be able to do it. Everybody trying to do what Kurt Cignetti did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's just so much unknown, you know, and so much new that it's really hard to go out there and say, yeah, this is the year that it's going to get done. But, you know, hopefully it's a very positive season. I mean, certainly if you get the over on 7.5, it's a positive season for any new coach at any spot around the country. So, yeah, there's definitely some excitement around the team. And I know last night I was not able to get out there all the way out in Lakeland, but the first kind of Tiger, I forget exactly what they call it, but the little road trip, they had that out in Lakeland last night. So definitely getting the excitement going for the football season.
It's that time of year for the coaches to kind of go out on their road show. Ryan Silverfield getting around Arkansas, making stops. So I think John Calipari along the ride with him at some of those stops. I can't imagine Cal loves being on a bus.
No, definitely not.
But he's doing it and spreading the good word. And Tigers and Atlantis, that bracket's set. Help me. So it's going to be two different brackets. Is that right?
That's how I read it.
So that'll be will it be fixed games or winners play winners?
Defeated play defeated.
What?
I don't know. I would assume that it's going to be the kind of bracket format of winners play, losers play, but I really do not know. And you know, I think we got clarity on it last night. I ended up seeing Xavier was the final team that was reported in their four-team field. I did see an Xavier page that came out. I think it might have been their 247 page that said that was not accurate. But it was Rocco Miller that reported it. Rocco Miller usually very much on top of this type of news, so I trust him that the four teams of this side will be Xavier, Penn State, Memphis, and Wake Forest. And so, yeah, that'll make up.
Don't you want Wake Forest after last year?
No, you definitely do. You definitely do. And so, yeah, I you know, don't know if that'll be the first game if you'll have to win or lose to play them. But, yeah, I'd love to get Wake Forest again. And then the other side of that battle for Atlantis, Virginia, Marquette, Texas A&M, and then that fourth team also has not been announced.
Yeah, that other side sounds a little stouter, but things can change. Sure. But would sure like a rematch with Wake Forest because – you know, it's so hard to tell, but we know how important that confidence that it is. Mm-hmm. And to lose a game like that, I don't know that it beat them another time or two, but it didn't help.
No, it definitely didn't. I mean, you know, you talk about coming out of that weekend where you played Purdue really, really tough, and if you had come out of that weekend with a win over Wake Forest, I think, you know, you're looking back at that and going, wow, you know, you got some real momentum. And, you know, even though it was two really close games, it was still 0-2 coming out of it, and it kind of stung. And so, yeah.
It felt defining, too.
It did. It definitely did. And so, yeah, I think, you know, if you could have changed that game, I think, you know, I don't know, like you said, I don't know if it would have – you know, turned into any more wins, but it certainly certainly
confidence is something, though, isn't it?
No, it definitely is. It definitely is in the way that that game ended. I mean, there were a lot of things that went into it. So, you know, I would love to see the first game be Memphis and Wake Forest and kind of be that rematch to get it started. And then, you know, whether you win or lose, you see either Xavier or Penn State, you know, whatever.
Fine.
Yeah, I guess, you know, those would be, you know, fine games, I guess. So yeah, no, I guess we were.
And all those will really play into the to the it's not RPI anymore, but to your scheduling. Mm-hmm. After you beat any of those, you want them to go on and have, you know, something respectable in those leagues, and those are good leagues.
Yeah, they are. And so you know,
net.
Definitely. So now that we know that, you know, I think gives us more clarity. You're starting to see more and more of those kind of Thanksgiving tournaments, the fields being announced. I know there were a couple others that were announced.
How many
last night.
Non-conference games are we up to now?
Oh, I can't tell you off the top of my head. I'd have to look it up. But it's getting up there. I mean, it's starting to kind of.
Yeah, I'm going
to
get 14 this year.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And so,
but it's getting close.
No, it is. And so now, you know, you wait to see if there's an announcement, if we actually get some sort of St. Jude event early in the season. You know, it sounds like that's going to happen, but still waiting on anything about that event.
That would be one game, right?
That's what I've heard, is that it would be one game. But, I mean, we haven't heard anything about it, so I really don't know. So.
Yeah, after that, you're really getting down to mostly kind of some of the gimmies.
Yeah. I mean, after that, it's got to be bye games and kind of wrap up the non-conference schedule. And, you know, it'll be another tough one. And that's, you know, something that we always talk about with these Penny Hardaway teams. He goes out there and he really schedules some tough non-conferences.
He demands.
The exact same this year. He definitely does.
I mean, it's not forced on him administratively. It's not forced on him by the fans. He forces it.
Yeah, no, he definitely does. And so, you know, it's been one thing. Yeah, it was one of the first things he said at his introductory press conferences. We're going to try to play the best teams, and we'll play anybody anywhere. And he's done that throughout his career. So you can say whatever you want, but one thing you can't say about him is he goes out there and he will schedule some really tough matchups for his team.
We love all the great food at Jason's Deli, but we also love all the great locations anywhere in our area. I promise you there's one close to you, and, of course, always online. You can check them out at jasonsdeli.com, but you can go right now at dinner time, whether you're getting it to go or you want to dine there. You can go over to Ridgeway at Park Place across from MUS, by the University of Memphis at Poplar Highland, down in Olive Branch, out in Cordova, all those locations, and at every one of those, you can count on a lot of things, like that great salad bar in every one of those locations with over 30 items to choose from for you to prepare it however you'd like, whether you're dining in, getting it to go, or having it delivered. It's wholesome food forever. It's a family thing at Jason's Deli, bringing more to the family. That's what they want to do. And they want to thank everybody for last weekend, for Mother's Day and for all the takeout food and the desserts, everybody trying to make everything just right for mom, and I know so many did. Any catering event, again, a lot of end-of-the-year school events, graduation parties, that let them take care of it for really any meal, breakfast, lunch, or at dinner time, at lunchtime, that pasta feast, your choice of chicken Alfredo, chicken pasta primo, a dessert tray, all served with toasted bread. You'll love that. That will set you up. The plain Jane potato bar for any big event. Let them take care of you. Healthy food. First franchise in the nation to be trans fat free. And it's all about choice at Jason's Deli. Plenty of organic food to choose from. Catering anytime, anywhere. 5 or 5,000, they've got you covered. And with all these locations at Ridgeway Road, at Poplar and Highland, Olive Branch, and Cordova, the complimentary free ice cream. Check them out online as well at jasonsdeli.com.
Well, let's get to our final break of the day. When we return, we'll wrap up today's show with Moe's Crunch Time.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Spanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is for all the biggest press time.
You are looking live. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
Crunch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Goodbye!
Obviously crunch time.
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
Crunch Time is brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Need a crunchy bite to eat? Head to Moe's for nachos, crunch wraps, tacos, salads, and more. Moe's.com, it's your go-to for all your taco crunch time emergencies. Well, Brett, what I learned today is that the combine has come to an end. I think we've learned a lot about some of these players, but now's where the fun or the madness starts over the next month until the NBA draft. These teams will continue to have meetings and workouts with all of these prospects as they try to figure out who their picks will be, set up their draft board. But for everybody else, for us, for the fans, for just the people that are on the outside, this is where all the chatter starts talking, the debate on who should go over who, where player X should go. And that will only intensify as we get closer to the draft. So you look at the top, it feels like the top three are set in some order. A.J. DeBonza, Darren Peterson, Cam Boozer. But now after the combine, a lot of talk, maybe
wild card
going up in the top two. What happens with some of these other guys that have had nice combines? It's going to be a fun month, but for the Grizzlies, kind of sit back and relax knowing that you're going to get a really, really talented player with that number three pick.
Were you just watching SportsCenter when they interviewed the player that made the winning shot last night off the carom in the WNBA?
No.
Sarah Ashley Barker?
We have it on ESPN2.
Okay.
In here.
Boy, it just made me feel a million years old. Sarah Ashley Barker, the daughter of Alabama great quarterback in the 90s, Jay Barker.
Oh, wow. How about
one of my
that?
Favorite players ever and wow. Favorite guys.
And his daughter's in the WNBA. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow, that is what I learned today other than feeling 100 years old. Game day, the first 4 weeks, we know where it's going to be. They've announced Baton Rouge for Clemson, LSU. They announced Austin for Ohio State at Texas. Feel almost certain any day the announcement for Oxford, for LSU, and Ole Miss. And the fourth week, it'll be in Athens for Georgia hosting OU. Well, that's four straight weeks of the SEC, but that's the ESPN's business partner. Mm-hmm. Do you know that Fox Big Noon has never been to an SEC site?
Wow.
Mostly Big Ten, Big 12.
Yeah.
Occasionally a Notre Dame. I think they went to Boise once, but never to SEC. They did go to OU Texas when they were in the Big 12, but never to the SEC.
Interesting. I guess that makes sense.
That's their business part.
No, it definitely is. But, yeah, when we learned yesterday that that the Ole Miss LSU game was going to be prime time on ABC, I think you can permanent marker write that in for game. I think you could have already, but with that news, definitely
nothing's going to happen to him. No, he will be safe.
No, he absolutely will be. Well, what I could have done without, we talked so much yesterday about the passing of Brandon Clark, and right about the time we got off air yesterday, the news about Jason Collins passing was made public. And, I talked about it earlier. I did not know that he had been diagnosed with any form of cancer, so it was a big surprise to me. But obviously spent time here at Memphis. Everybody is around the Grizzlies organization just talks glowingly about him. Everybody around the NBA talks glowingly around. Absolutely. And just, obviously a trailblazer of a professional athlete and what he meant to so many people. And so definitely really, really sad to see that news yesterday of his passing at, again, a very young age.
Yeah, I bet, yesterday and today and following days, really tough on Brevin Knight to know both well.
Yeah.
Could have done without this. The NFL Players Association, they want to play everything, dome, everywhere on natural grass.
Yep.
Sounds like a great idea. Get the owners to spend the money on it.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying if they can change it out for World Cup, why not for us? A week to week in the NFL. That'll be settled. That'll be settled through the next collective bargaining agreement, though. But it reminds me of the great quote from Warren Sapp. You can't roll it up and smoke it. I don't want to play on it.
Well, that is good. Yeah, I think a lot of people in the NFL, when they learned the World Cup was coming to the United States and that all these stadiums were going to have to put in grass, I think they were going, okay, that's good. That opens it up for us.
I want real grass at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Yeah. I know we can grow Bermuda grass in Memphis, Tennessee.
Definitely can. Where are you beaming tonight?
Beam me too in my best Elton John voice. I'm not going to try to sing it. Philadelphia Freedom for the start tomorrow morning of the 108th PGA Championship. I've been to six PGAs, but I've never been to one in May. I think I like how we've got the tour set up now with kind of a major a month from March through September.
Yeah, I like it. Beam me tonight. Game 5, Cavs and Pistons get started here in about an hour on ESPN. We'll see who takes control of the series.
All important game 5. We know that swing games a lot of times live from Aronimink. It'll be pick night for them. Avalanche could close out tonight against the Wild. Who could pull for the Wild? Whoever, who's a real Wild fan? Nobody.
That's a great point, Brett. Nobody I know would ever root for the Minnesota
Wild. Giants, Dodgers late. Cardinals and homeless A's late.
Yeah, good night of sports. You mentioned those two playoff games. A lot of baseballs. We only had 2 day games today, so plenty to watch. Then the golf all day tomorrow. But that's all the time we have. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.